We turn now to an event happening this weekend that will bring software developers, entrepreneurs, local governments, and community members together to design and build tools for the common good. Using publicly released data, they will work together to create all kinds of projects, from fixing potholes to stocking food banks, basically integrating technology to solve community issues. The event is known as the National Day of Civic Hacking. Here to tell us more is one of the organizers, Ted Kozane. He's the founder of Second Muse. That's a collaborative innovation lab that helps find technological solutions to everyday issues. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So back up and tell me, what is civic hacking?
So a civic hacker is really a community member. This can be an engineer, a software developer, a designer, an entrepreneur, sort of really anybody that cares about their community and cares about actually influencing it. And civic hacking is when these folks actually work with each other, including folks within the government, including who are included in that group, to find ways to just improve the quality of life in their communities.
What kinds of things, what kinds of projects do you tend to gravitate toward? Because I think some people might be intrigued by this. On the one hand, you know, volunteerism is such a fundamental part of American life. On the other hand, I think some people might say, well, you know, fixing potholes, that's the government's job. They're supposed to do that. You know, why should people volunteer to do something that we know that's their job?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I mean, my sense is that because we know more about what's going on sort of within our communities, and that there's such tremendous capacity, that there's many ways where citizens can actually plug in and provide solutions and ideas, and that traditionally were held within the government, or within, say, for example, some kind of an NGO or something like that. But we see people come up with novel solutions that integrate these different sort of segments of society that have traditionally been very segmented to come together in really novel ways. And so you see people doing a whole range of things, from building websites that help help people without homes find homes for the evening, or people that are hungry find food from healthy food sources. And that, of course, involves the government working together to make sure that certain standards are in place, as well as software programmers to bring their talents from their day jobs to actually help really solve a problem that exists in the community.
I've seen an example of this up close. After Hurricane Katrina, when a lot of people went up to Houston to find safety, and a lot of people had to leave so quickly they didn't have address books, or particularly seniors who perhaps didn't have, or they perhaps left phones behind where they had numbers programmed in and couldn't find relatives. And I saw hackers kind of descend upon the stadium there in Houston, where a lot of people were finding emergency shelter, and set up systems right there to help people find relatives and loved ones around the country. It was quite amazing to see, and it was kind of but it was an emergency situation where there literally could not have been a system in place. Can you give us another example of where hackers have gotten together to kind of solve a problem, perhaps on a more ongoing basis, or to solve a more ongoing problem?
Yeah, and that's a great example. I think in the aftermath of Katrina is when we saw a real explosion of this kind of people who had a lot to give, but what they wanted to give was not a $5 donation. They wanted to build a website or find a lot of those. Of course, you're referring to one of many person finders websites that popped up in the emergency situation. One of the examples of what we saw come out of last year, for example, was an initiative called OMG Transit. And so, if you're interested in multimodal transportation, that means I want to, use a bus and maybe a car sharing program and maybe a train and then maybe some other form of transportation. There were no apps to be able to take you from end to end to say, how do I get from point A to point B using the public infrastructure. And this was a group of people that literally just came together. They met each other in Minneapolis, and then they came up with a really interesting sort of application. And then, throughout the course of, the next 6 months, we worked with them actually quite closely. And they're a proper up and running business right now, where they're really building this. And it's been an ongoing year-long initiative.
Edward Snowden is in the news now. We mentioned him just briefly a few minutes ago. What about the fact that NASA and the White House are taking part in this? Some citizens have some not warm feelings about their government right now, feeling that the government's have overreached in accessing information about citizens that they should not necessarily have access to. Are you at all concerned about privacy issues or breaking down walls, not just for the government or for private sector players who are getting access to information they really shouldn't have about people? Is that at all a concern?
Yeah, I think that that's clearly a concern, and I think we're seeing it play out. I think that you know, what we're seeing is that, you know, there's been this really big explosion of data, you know, and that and people have access to lots of data about people. And we're having a really interesting conversation right now about what information should you have access to, what information shouldn't you have access to. I think that what we focus over here is on is not necessarily on saying we should open up data that is questionable in terms of whether we should have access to it or not. What we're really focusing on is inaccessible yet acceptable data. So there's NASA, for example, generates tons of data through other satellites, both looking into space as well as they have a lot of satellites that are looking at Earth, looking at climate change patterns and things like that. I think what we're interested in is taking data that everybody agrees is not innocuous, but is not sort of within this realm of conflict about should this data be available or not, and we're actually just making this accessible. So you have 18 different federal agencies that are involved that are opening up data sets, and this is not controversial data. This is sort of data that nobody would object to, but that is maybe sitting in a corner and actually is not being used well, and that's really kind of the data that we're focusing on.
You know, you're telling us that there are events all over the country. What, something like over more than 100 events, right, taking place this weekend?
That's right. Yeah, there's 100 and about, I think we're up to 123 events in 103 different cities.
And what are some of the things that you like about it? And I know that one of the things you were telling us is that this is the kind of event that brings together people who don't normally sit in a room together, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, you know, I mean, because of the fact that the difference between what should the government be doing versus what should the private sector be doing versus what should a community volunteer be doing, because they've gotten so intermingled, you know, a lot of times, I mean, we can sort of clash and say, this is your job, this is my job, or we can get into the room together and actually see each other face to face and meet each other. And that diversity of opinion from so many different multiple backgrounds, when it's coming together for the intent of actually understanding some kind of a challenge or opportunity and then working together to fix it, has turned out to be very powerful. And we have, you know, a library of evidence of, you know, of what that is able to create. And it's really rich what comes out of there, just because I think it's not an antagonistic meeting. It's a really it's a very additive, a very constructive sort of an event.
How will you judge the success of this, you know, overall? If you and I get together 5 years from now, what do you hope will have happened as a result of the work that's going on this weekend and around the country and around the world?
I think that there's probably a number of factors. I think that we want to see real stuff happen. So we want to see, you know, not something that happens over a weekend and then sort of disappears, but we want to see, you know, kind of what you alluded to earlier, which is ongoing initiative that actually is helping people, that is actually solving challenges, that's starting new businesses. We also want to see this influence, and we're already seeing it really influence both local government as well as federal government in terms of their ability to, because there's a lot of data there. And again, we're talking about the data that's not controversial, but we're seeing a lot of people open that up. And I think that watching more of that is going to be one of the factors of success.
Todd Kozain is the co-founder of Second Muse. We've been talking to him about events this weekend around civic hacking. And to learn more, you can go to npr.org/tellmemore. Todd, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Michelle.